US ally Saudi Arabia accused of murdering a journalist inside one of their embassies. Is Donald Trump happier to sweep it back under the rug? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the Sydney radio station 2SER. Catch us on iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Journalist Jamal Khashoggi, it has been alleged, was killed and dismembered in the Saudi Arabia consulate in Istanbul 2 weeks ago now. The Saudi royal family, one of the US's closest allies in the region, and Trump seems determined to soothe over the whole row. What's happening, Ed?
Well, you said alleged. I don't think there's any alleging. I think we know that he was murdered and dismembered. The Turks have him cold. They're now trying to figure a way out of this mess. And I suspect what will happen is the Crown Prince will say, oh my gosh, some thug rogue agents did this, thinking they would have my approval. I am outraged. I caught them. I'm going to string them up, hang them or shoot them. And they'll find, you know, four or five guys in a prison someplace and shoot them and say, we've done it. We've cleaned that up. Done. And that's the way it's going to go down. It looked like they're doing what they should when they're not. And most of the world will know they're not. But what the hell are you going to do? And Trump will continue to do business with the Saudis.
Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, right in the middle of this, his dealings with the Saudis have already looked less than savory at times.
Oh, boy, that's an understatement. He is so close to the Crown Prince, when the Crown Prince sneezes, Jared has to take out his handkerchief.
Any roll-on effects there, do you think?
Well, this Kushner business is getting very unseemly. I don't know how it can go on. It seems to me that Kushner, you know, in any reasonable government, be headed for jail. If the Democrats get in, he's either headed for jail or a huge headache. So we'll see. He's being protected by the U.S. royal family. And he still has 666 Park Avenue. What is it? Almost $1 billion loan that he's got to clean up pretty soon. I think it comes due in January. So something's got to happen with Jared Kushner soon.
While I think there's a long, long debate to be had about the post-World War II role of America as the world's police force, it has been said with Trump so wrapped up with his own personal issues and wanting, at least theoretically, to bring back American isolationism, that countries like Saudi Arabia, like China, like Russia, are getting more bold in the kind of moves that they are willing to take. What do you make of that?
Well, you're a young man, but I remember these history books that talked about great powers going all the way back to the Dutch. And when they were in charge, they ruled the seas and kept most of the rest of the world under control. And then it was the Spaniards. And the next great empire was the British. So all the empires last anywhere from 50 to 300 years. And they seem to collapse on their own doing internally. The British collapsed internally, had to give up India, had to give up most of the colonies. None of this was from external doing, it's from internal doing, and the United States is the same. The United States' role as world power was dwindling anyway with the rise of China. China will not play that role. China will play a role. China's basically a world isolationist power. They only do things for Chinese. They're more Trump than Trump. So China is the world's power. Does not mean they'd be the world's policemen. They are not out to do good in the world, and neither is Russia. So the world would then have to be cleansed somehow, and the best combination, of course, would be to bring back the EU and the United States and Latin America. and the Asian powers that Japan and so forth to control these people. But we're never going to have a time where one nation in our lifetimes, where one nation like the United States is in charge.
Back at home, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but it's official that Republicans' big tax cut bill last year increased the federal deficit to $779 billion, a 17% increase. This is a far cry from Trump's promises to magically eliminate the debt, Ed.
Well, since I've been here, all the talk here is cutting social programs, including Social Security, including Medicare, which would mean the Obamacare would be cut, food stamps, all the programs for the poor are going to be propping up this tax break for the rich. And that is going down like a lead balloon. The ordinary guy on the street understands that it's a talk in every bar. Nobody likes this. And almost nobody likes these tax cuts because by doing the tax cuts, the federal offsets for homeowners was reduced or removed. So in the old days, if you owned a home in the United States, the taxes you paid on your home in California were a deduction from the federal taxes. No more. I think the match is up to $8,000 or $9,000. For a person living on the East Coast, that's nothing. So the middle class is really being hurt by gigantic gift to the wealthy. The only company that did anything was Amazon, and they raised wages. The rest of them did nothing for workers and didn't hire a single new employee.
Circle back to Obamacare in just a minute, but speaking of Trump promises, Trump has promised Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis that his head won't be next on the chopping block after comments that Mattis was sort of a Democrat who could leave the administration. Mattis, well-liked, well-respected. Why would Trump want to get rid of him in the first place?
You've given all the reasons. Well-liked, well-respected, around the world, running the military very well, and ignoring Trump's edicts like a parade and getting rid of the LGBT. So Mattis is one of the adults. He's gradually gotten rid of the adults. I think Mattis is going as soon as he can get rid of them, but he has to get rid of Sessions first.
Hurricane Michael, the death toll currently sitting at 33 last I saw, and damage is devastating. FEMA getting into some areas now, but it doesn't look like the government is going to be too quick to pick up the bill. Anything to add, Ed?
Well, $700 trillion debt? What can you do? These people's homes will not be repaired. This is another Puerto Rico, except it's on American soil. Too bad it's so close to the election because it will dampen the people coming out. But the next time, these people will not be voting for Trump because their houses will still be in ruin and the government will have done nothing because the government has no money to do anything. And guess what? Trump still hasn't read the climate change report.
And midterms, this is really scary, I think. States such as Georgia and Ohio, Republicans are being accused of undercutting voting rights. As an Australian with compulsory voting, these tactics always strike me as fairly extraordinary, completely contrary to what a representational democracy should be about. But should we be so shocked, Ed?
Well, let's not say Australia doesn't do it. We just do it with gerrymandering, right?
Mm-hmm.
In certain electorates around the country. Clearly that's being reduced and almost eliminated, but there are always these deals done between political parties and things like this that keep another political party out. That's done everywhere. In the United States, the Voters Rights Act was preventing that, but the Supreme Court knocked out the major provisions of it. I think now what's going to happen, the media has played an enormously important role here by bringing this stuff to light. And I think the embarrassment of it is going to end a lot of it. The other thing is, this is a very short-term game. Young people, suburbanites, growing numbers of women are turning against this kind of stuff. And within the decade, the people who played this game are really going to be in trouble. Deep, deep trouble. It would be possible, if the Republicans keep this up, they would never be able to govern again, particularly after the next census.
And last week, you were talking about how Obamacare will be instrumental in the midterms race. This week, Dems seem to be following that advice, putting the focus on healthcare in a concerted push, while Republicans just killed a bill to cover pre-existing conditions. Any thoughts?
What that bill was being to do was to shore up the Obamacare law so that it cannot be challenged in the courts. 20 states are challenging the preconditions on the ground that it was unconstitutional or something like that. And this law was to bypass that by getting it through the House and through the Senate so that preconditions would be stipulated under the law. So, and there are two things that are going to happen probably. If the Democrats win up to 25 governorships, a lot of those states are going to drop that. And the Republicans in most states are now running for health care because they're seeing what a big issue it is, and it separates them from Trump. So I don't really know what's going to happen with Obamacare. I think Obamacare is really the tragedy, is the big budget deficit. How can the United States guarantee health care for people with a deficit like this? You wouldn't believe the tent cities I've seen since I've been here and communities and neighborhoods that didn't even have homeless. So it's scary. And where this is going to end, nobody knows. But at least for now, Obamacare is keeping a few people out of homelessness.
And just finally, Ed, Democrat Elizabeth Warren this week released tests that proved that she had, in some respect, heritage that related back to Native Americans. This has followed, you know, a couple of years of mocking from Donald Trump, calling her Pocahontas and the like for relating this story that her grandmother had told her they had Indian relations somewhere down the line. Given the criticism we've seen batted back and forth this week, do you think she did the right thing playing it this way with Trump, or is it really just not worth engaging?
Well, I think she did it the wrong way. If she was going to do this DNA thing, she should have gone to the Algonquin or whatever tribe she's associated with and said, my grandmother's told me this story, and you know how our people who are traditional peoples regard stories. And they would say, we don't know anything about this, but let's see what records we have. And then she could say, you know, we have this new DNA stuff. Would you like to do that? And if they said yes to that, then they would be party to this search. But, you know, it's almost like me claiming I'm one of your relatives without telling you. And I know we're close. But it was a silly thing to do. She should have done it the right way. People can't respect anyone, particularly if you're a Native person, claiming ancestry for political gain.
This week is still week one of 2SER Supporter Drive. 2SER relies on financial contributions from listeners just like you to keep us producing independent content. To be part of the stories, ideas and music, including podcasts you hear on 2SER, go to 2SER.com/support. Every little bit is massively appreciated. Ed and I'll be back over the next 2 weeks with a US of Ed special look at guns, gun culture and gun control in the United States, something that often baffles a lot of folk from Australia and other countries, as well as many Americans. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe on iTunes or Wooshka, or check us out on Facebook or Twitter at US of Ed.